Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com.
And now,
the leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
That, my friends, is what we call an intro. Greetings, welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy. I am Jonathan Bell alongside the one and only Mr. Ryan Reinecke.
Ah, good to see you, Jonathan. Man, it's good to be esteemed.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And now that we have the professional voiceover guy saying it adds validity.
Dude, I just love that. And it's a simple thing, too. It's not like he knows us and he hangs around with us, so he knows how esteemed we are.
Although
we are. We just give him cash, and he says, "Your esteemed hosts."
Yes.
I love that. I might pay him just to say other things.
Absolutely.
To me.
No, like, I think that would be, it's definitely on my to-do list whenever I am not poor.
Yeah.
Is just to give him a script of cool things to say, and he can just...
I was thinking about just having him follow me around.
Sure.
And if like somebody cuts me off in line, I'd be like, "Don't worry, Ryan. They're a fuckhead. You're awesome."
That would be awesome. I think we can make that happen once we hit
that's
big time.
A lot of money, though.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, no. Let me be completely honest with you.
no lie.
Yes. You have been working extremely hard on the website, and I have been trying to pull my weight, but as many of the listeners out there can probably imagine, Ryan is very technologically advanced. I not so much, but I am proud of what I was able to get done on the intro. And I'm not going to lie to you. I listened to that once I got the final version in the mail.
Yeah.
I listened to that about 437 times.
That's a good, uneven number.
It just made me happy. It made me feel like we were validated, like the podcast was in business.
Yeah, like it's a little more tangible, right?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a good wrapper to have it in. You know, it's not really a present unless it's in a wrapper.
It is indeed. So how has the last week been in the world of Mr. Ryan Reinecke?
Oh, it's been nonstop fantasticness. Okay. Watching our followers grow and getting some feedback. That's always great, knowing that people are actually out there and they give a damn to, you know, download something that's free.
Yes.
You know, it's hard to have people pay for stuff or even take something that's free and much less tell you what they think about it. And that's important. And to know that we touch people in ways that we can't be legally held accountable for is nice.
Sure, and that's a good point. You know, the whole free thing is because I've been offering my body to females for about 16 years now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And very seldom am I taken up on it.
How long have you been offering your body to men?
Very, very much smaller time span.
Mm. See, I've been doing the opposite. I've been doing men about 16 years, women about 8, because I just didn't think they were interested.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I've been... To be honest, I don't think I've ever offered my body to a man. I mean, with the exception for, you know, like a movie role or something.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's like the cost of doing business, right?
Sure.
It's like
a casting couch and
yeah.
Whatnot.
I mean, if you're going to be a CPA, you're going to invest in staples and paperclips, and if you're going to be in show business, you're going to invest in knee pads and KY.
Sure. I mean, you don't get the kind of A-list Hollywood roles that I bring down.
You don't.
Just by auditioning and,
right. I mean,
you know,
if you
going
want
to callbacks,
right. If you want the choice roles, you know,
sure.
You got to give the goodies to the casting directors.
Right. Yeah. I learned that in Jonah Hex, you know, I worked my way up, but apparently I left the editor out, which is why I wound up on the cutting room floor.
You got to get the director, first AD, and the editor, and also the sound guy. I didn't know that. If you don't make that sound guy happy, it's going to be somebody else's voice dropped in there.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get Gilbert Gottfried on the ADR so quick you won't know what happened.
The number one go-to guy when they need to clean something up and make it professional.
Sure.
Yeah.
I noticed last week it was funny. I know we talked about this before the show, but last week we discussed my love of mobsters and mob knowledge and my immense interest in said information.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked me if there were any new developments
right
in mob world. And this was Wednesday, early evening. And I said, no, there have been no new developments.
It's been quiet since Gotti.
It's been quiet since Gotti. And what do you know? The next morning, the FBI has the largest mob raid in history and winds up arresting 128 mobsters. And what's funny about that is, of course, the episode wasn't available for a day or two. So by the time the episode came out, of course, everybody had heard on the news about this huge mob bust. And they're listening to me be like, yeah, I'm really into mob stuff.
I get my pulse on that.
I follow it real close. No, nothing new is going on. But yes, more than 100 mobsters arrested all over the country. And my favorite part about whenever any mobster gets arrested, my favorite part is actually finding the actual federal indictment. And then I get to read off their names and their nicknames because
it has the AKAs
yes,
on there.
Little known fact, on the front of the federal indictment, it has all their aliases.
Oh, give me some choice ones. Come on.
And this time around in this last bust, just a brief smattering of the names of those arrested. Joseph Jojo Carrazzo,
known for his monkey routine.
Michael Rock Roccaforte,
known for his Rockford cheese production.
Frank Meatball Bellatoni,
known for his big testicles.
Not to be confused with Christopher Burger Reynolds.
No, they get together, but they don't go together.
Anthino Hootie Russo. That's apparently Hootie's in the mob now. And Johnny Bandana Brancaccio. Also arrested were Michael Jello Coutina. And last but not least, my favorite in this round of mafia busts, Vincenzo Vinny Carwash Frogiero.
God damn.
Vinny Carwash was busted.
Damn, dude. Can I get a side of pasta and turtle wax with that?
Isn't that sad? Vinny Carwash is headed to the clink.
That ain't good.
I'm guessing he's probably in the car wash. Probably in the car wash business.
Probably not. He's probably like makes wholesale lingerie for bunny farms in Vegas.
Sure.
Because they're kind of contradictory. Like, what's Jello? Like, would you trust a guy in the mob named Jello?
You know, that's a very good point. I don't think I would.
Like, he's jiggly and you can't put your finger on him. He's not a solid guy. Mush. Yeah, no. That's like...
That's a very good point.
Vinny Foldum... Vashalushi.
Sure. Vinny the Sammy the Bull Gravano was arrested at one point.
Bull's good.
It turned out to be a rat. So apparently now, instead of the bull, he's probably Sammy the Rat Gravano.
So there's not like a Vito the Rat Corleone.
Correct.
That's probably one nickname they don't apply.
Unfortunately, you and I both of Germanic descent, so we would legally not...
You're going to have to stop pointing that out every episode.
Not legally. I'm just saying we don't have Italian blood, at least not enough to be considered pure blood by the mob, so we could never be made men.
No, we couldn't run a sandwich for them. Probably.
Right. Could never be made men. Mm. We could be an associate.
Yeah.
Because that's how it breaks down. We could be an associate.
But if somebody popped me, you couldn't legitimately seek revenge.
That's true.
If they were made.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Not under the mob umbrella, anyway.
Untouchables.
Correct. But, yeah, so I've always wanted to have a mob name.
Okay.
And the closest I've ever gotten was a poker name. Like, a lot of the guys that play poker, a lot of people that play poker have... poker names, which are very similar to mob names.
What was your handle?
Well, when I used to live in college, one of the ways I kind of supplemented my income, if you will, was I used to play the free poker tournaments at Boomtown in Kenner.
Hmm.
And every Tuesday they had free poker tournaments and I would go and play every Tuesday before class, get there at like 8, start playing at 9.
Loving that.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Continuing education.
Anyway, my first class was at 11, and the poker tournament started at 9.
That's plenty of time.
So
30 minutes travel?
Sure. So I would go balls out as soon as the tournament started.
Did they let you play like that there?
Well, you know, it's hit or miss. Sometimes they'd ask me to leave. Sometimes they let me stay.
Right. They're welcome here.
No, but I would seriously go for it. You know, first hand, second hand, first few hands, I'm all in if I've got decent cards. Because that's just the way I rolled. Because I wanted to either win it or be able to make it back to UNO for class. So the poker dealer there started calling me Fast Johnny. Because I was either up real big soon or I was out soon. So one way or the other, I was quick about it. So they started calling me Fast Johnny. And that's the closest I've ever gotten to a mob name.
Jonathan Fast Johnny Bell.
Yes.
That's good.
Ironically, the
ladies might not like that name. But
People sometimes, you know, you have the little memes and stuff on the internet about finding your porn name. That's a big thing on the internet. I don't think Fast Johnny would be a very good porn name. I think it might have.
That could go either way, though, because if you're like Fast Johnny, the girls are like, ooh, he's living life in the fast lane. Well, I guess if you were in the 50s, sure. Like he moves fast. Yeah. He's a fast
if I
boy.
Was friends with he's James fresh. Dean.
Yeah, James Dean and the Fonz. But these days, Fast Johnny, that's just like, you know, your wad is blown by the time your balls are out.
I'm not a minute man. I have references.
Now, anyway, if those were in old-timey days, a minute man would be, I mean, that's like a patriot. That's what a lot of these teabaggers are. They're Minutemen. Modern-day Minutemen.
Not to pat myself on the back or anything, but X used to call me John Phenomenon.
Seriously?
I'm serious.
John exactly Phenomenon. Roll. I mean, was it like a pet name? Like, hey, John Phenomenon, do you want to go to the Olive Garden?
Yeah,
or is it like, yeah. John Phenomenon? That doesn't work either. How'd she work that in?
Carefully.
As you did to her. With your Fast Johnny.
Anyway, so that is our tale of mobsters.
Well, no, it's good because you probably, with your connects, you probably knew it was coming down. And you were just like, oh, no, nothing's happening. Nobody can touch those guys.
Sure.
So they all had their guard down when they listened to us after they were busted.
That's true. Because little known fact, many of the La Cosa Nostra love the Nerd Aristocracy podcast.
They do. In fact, we're under threat to not stop.
Sure. We are actually funded by laundered money.
Well, it's donations.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Charitable.
They got to wash it somewhere.
Charitable, if you will.
It's either us or Haiti.
So in other news, JCPenney has decided to no longer do catalogs. The company that kind of made catalog.
Yeah, them and
shopping.
Sears.
Yep, Sears, yeah. Roebuck.
Lingerie section.
Both were head-to-head in catalog sales for years. JCPenney has decided, hey, the internet's kicking our ass, and we are no longer going to be in the catalog business.
Did they put it that way?
I believe they did.
Oh, man. Okay, JCPenney.
Verbatim in their press release.
Amazon
the internet is kicking,
Our ass.
Yes.
They should have spun it. Okay, here's a spin.
Okay.
JCPenney, go back in time and change it to, we at JCPenney are seizing on the new initiative set forth by the administration for green projects and green initiatives. And our first bold step is to discontinue our long-loved JCPenney catalog in order to preserve the trees that children are playing in South America. Something like that. You know?
I think you just got yourself a PR job.
Dude, give it to me. I'll spin anything.
Sure.
Hey, maybe we can make that a thing. I like that. Yeah.
I like that. Ryan spins the news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my life, actually.
I'm going to write that down.
No, officer, I didn't hit them with my car. I stopped them from going somewhere. That doesn't work. See, JCPenney, that's sad. JCPenney's like a doddering old man that just needs to be unplugged.
Yeah, I don't think that I had ordered anything via catalog since I was probably 4 years old, and I ordered my WWF sleeping bag from Sears and Roebuck. My brother ordered one, a G.I. Joe one, and I ordered the WWF one, which you will see here.
Oh, lovingly folded in his new laundry.
Yes.
That's good. Good. Yes. It's got some good
color.
I mean,
not that we do this podcast from my house. We're, of course, in
this isn't our studio.
Multi-million dollar studio. I just brought my WWF sleeping bag to the studio because I was up all night planning for the show.
I'll believe that.
Did I sell that?
Not really.
You're the PR expert. Give me the spin.
I brought it and my laundry.
Okay.
Because of either A, our really advanced... Are really advanced washing machines that we have here at our facility.
Sure.
Or B, I brought my sleeping bag because after this, we're going to be editing it to perfection.
Okay.
And we're going to have one of our little sleepovers where we edit.
Sure.
Our audio.
It's a good...
Yeah?
It's a good...
I could work on
covert ops.
Yeah.
There.
See, what I really want to do is I want to work for the Republicans and, like, spin... things that seem good and just make them terrible and caustic to make a bunch of old white people scared and clutch their wallets.
Sure.
Because they excel at that. It's weird because you think, and I bet you a dime to a dollar, the people that are working for the Republicans doing that are Democrats. Because in my opinion, Democrats are more creative because they're more poor, by and large, than your average Republican. You know, not to...
I would agree with that statement.
Draw high contrast or anything, but and I think to come up with that kind of just wordsmithing and diabolical engineering of like human logic, you need to be a creative person. And I think that oddly enough, the Republicans probably employ more artists in that than Hollywood does in writing fiction.
Yeah, I think that that it'd be a pretty easy job, though, to spin for the Republicans as far as generating fear among old white people. Because mm-hmm. all you really have to say to generate fear in old white people is say black people. That's
black
pretty much
people,
all you have to, or Mexicans. That's pretty much all you have to say.
Are going to take your money.
And if you could create like a mutant, I mean...
Black Mexican?
Yes, if you could say there's a monster... That is of monster serial killer of black Mexican descent.
Rapist.
Sure. You would probably have every white person moving to Canada in a matter of
That's good
days.
At stealing your credit cards, too, because they're scared of, like, online stuff.
That's true.
That we should get on board with that.
Don't leave my computer on. They gonna steal my identity.
Just shoulder my elbow in front of your way before you see me sign in this form. I don't want you to be able to steal my soul.
My favorite is when somebody that you know has a credit score of like 200 complains about somebody wanting to steal their identity. It's like they might attempt to steal your identity, but as soon as they got declined for the first 17 credit cards.
Well, that's like the crazy shitbird who's like, oh, they're listening to me. I know they're going to tap my phones. That's why I don't have a cell phone. They can tap those things.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm sitting here in a bar for 2 minutes and I don't want to fucking listen to you.
Right.
Why the shit would some evil mega corporation government shadowy figures give two farts in a high wind to listen to you for 2 seconds?
Yeah, but let's not step on any toes because a lot of the coast to coast fan base.
Baby, I'm going to dance on some toes.
Yeah.
It's true that.
That's what we're here for. We are the, according to the voiceover guy, we are the esteemed leaders of the nerd proletariat.
That's true.
They look to us for guidance.
And we shall.
And all things nerd.
Lead them to an undetermined victory. Speaking of invasion of privacy,
please.
I've got something to that. recently, I think it was Congress appealed to the Department of Justice to increase the activity of their internet data retention program. And what this is your internet service provider, your ISPs, keep data of your activity online just for basic maintenance. Like, you know, if our servers had some problems because too many people were visiting this website and there's some chokehold in the network, you know, like logistical stuff. But the Department of Justice was being appealed to by Congress to increase that and to hold on to these records for longer in case some crime could be better prosecuted with the findings of these records, which in theory sounds okay, albeit very Orwellian. I mean, you could make the same argument, like if you had a camera in every house, then, you know, no crimes would be committed or you could prosecute better. And of course, they always wave out the big one, the child predator thing. Like, oh, child predators. Oh, yeah. You do this, child predators. But I mean, you know, if you sit on everybody's records, you might be able to get a leg up on 1% of that population, if that would lead to some crime. And the thing is they weren't going to keep content. They weren't going to keep, like, you looked at a picture nancyboy13.jpg. But what they would keep a record of, not you, just generally.
I was about to say, are you looking at my screen right now, or what's going on here?
Well, yeah, it's a slideshow. I mean, okay, it's kind of nice. I prefer the Filipinos. Yeah. But they would keep a track of where you went, like your footprints, basically. So they wouldn't see that, but they would see you went to nancyboy.com,
okay,
or .net/org, US biz. And that's problematic because if you are any bit of a sophisticated criminal and you're going to be online, at the very least, you're going to use a proxy. You know what a proxy is?
I think so. Is it like a redirect, essentially?
Yes, yeah. Like you're tapping into a location, and then that location will complete your connection for you, but it kind of stops there and it just shows you what it's seeing. A lot of people use that at work to get behind firewalls if they want to go to Facebook or play something online that they're not supposed to.
And what's your
work
favorite proxy for our listeners?
I don't use proxies.
All right, sorry, listener fan base, the nerd proletariat, send us your favorite proxy site, mail@nerdaristocracy.com. We will share it next week with the rest of the nerd proletariat.
Yeah, your proxy of choice. Most likely it's out of this country anyway. So even if the DOJ was able to trace you to going to this proxy and like, oh, this person we know is a killer, then they would have to negotiate with that other country to try to get those records. And that's just a big mess. And that's a lot of expenditure of money and effort. And why don't you just, you know, discover other ways to either protect your infrastructure or track down criminals, you know? Anyway, that is that. I like the fact that they're not keeping content, though, but they are keeping where you go. I mean, well, I guess that's...
Well, you mentioned child predators, and one of my biggest pet peeves with regards to politics is when prosecutors will continue to pass bills, mm-hmm, to, quote, increase the punishment on child predators, mm-hmm, and all you see... I have no problems with child predators being prosecuted.
I'm glad you finished that.
Yes.
I've got no problem with child predators.
No, my problem is currently, mm-hmm, I don't know exactly. I'm not a child predator. I'm not a prosecutor of child predators. But currently, my guess is the penalties are like 100 years for each offense. And my problem is with the politicians, mm-hmm, that will waste taxpayer time and money increasing it, say from 100 to 125 years.
Here.
And this happens on every level, local, yeah, state, and federal.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is they want to be able to put on their next bulletin card or postcard.
Right. Senator John Oldman voted, right, against,
sure,
you know.
You know, Ryan Reinicke voted to increase the penalties on child predators. What they don't tell
his
you.
His constituent did not.
Sure. What they don't tell you is that prior to this newfound legislation from this senator, the punishment was 150 years for each offense, and now it's, right, 175.
Right, and it makes it look like the other guy loves child predators,
sure,
too.
And it's like, it's, oh, okay, thanks for wasting what on the federal level equates to millions of dollars to get this legislation printed and sent around and publicized and PR'd and flipped and turned and churned and voted on. And yeah, thanks. Now he can die with 100 years left on his sentence as opposed to 75 years left on his sentence.
Well, that'll learn him.
Yes.
Won't go diddling any more kids. Well, we all know they're going to receive the worst punishment even if they serve 2 months in jail, and that's having their asshole wrapped around their face because people are diving into it like it's a fucking
car
wash Johnny.
I hear child predators not big
No, that's great. You know, that's where I got to tip my hat to the criminal community, is that they all kind of agree. Yes. You know, like, all right, dude, what are you in here for?
I killed 700 men.
Yeah, I killed a small village in Dakar. I killed 800 nuns and raped their dead bodies. What'd you do? I molested a 12-year-old girl that told me she was 18.
Bend over.
Oh, yeah? Looks like you just dropped the soap.
Yep. Speaking, and I learned about prisoners' hatred of child predators through Lock Up Raw on MSNBC. It's a great, great show. MSNBC has marathons pretty much on a daily basis.
Really?
So
is that like Taxi Cab Confessions, but you're in jail?
It's pretty much a documentary on every jail in America, on every state prison, federal prison. They have like one special for each jail. But yeah, now apparently that's all MSNBC is going to have, because Keith Olbermann got the axe last week. He was fired. So
I heard that.
Yeah.
Heard that. Don't understand it. He was one of the figureheads of MSNBC. He's responsible for lifting them from joking obscurity into something people would tune into.
Absolutely. I think it was a personal issue that.
Well, there was he gave like $300 to some politician's campaign. There was that stink, but that was like 4 years ago or 4 months ago or something. But then this most recent thing, excuse me, I'm not sure what the stink was. Was it just that he wouldn't tone it down?
I think it was a combination of, it was a gradual building of personnel problems he was having with his boss at the network. And then last week, speaking of big business, Comcast and NBC decided to merge to become one of the largest media conglomerates in the world. Since Comcast's chairman is a staunch Republican, I think that he probably said, hey, since we're merging, you need to get rid of that Olbermann guy. But at some point, you got to say, hey, business is business. And like you said, he's the figurehead of MSNBC. He's the reason people watch that network. Mm-hmm. Without him, it's Rachel Maddow.
If you got to watch a political lesbian, she's
Yes. If Laura Ingraham isn't your style.
I don't even know who that is.
That is the bleach blonde bimbo that the right wing trots out to hunters and fishermen.
They're good
somebody
with that
to look at.
Yeah, they're good with, like, Fox TV, as far as female anchors are concerned, are the equivalent to female personalities on Telemundo. They're just stupid bitches that you would date, rape, and not really care about.
Sure.
And then everybody else that's a guy in the network is like an old frat boy.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you, observation.
I'm Shepard Smith, man.
What's up? Woo!
Shotgun beers!
That's terrible for MSNBC, and I hadn't really considered it, but NBC and Comcast teaming up is terrible in light of, like, streaming media on the internet, because every media producing company, NBC, CBS, everybody, like JCPenney, you know, they're getting their fucking dick handed to them and gift wrapped, because it's a present, due to the internet. You know, people don't want to watch when you tell them to watch stuff. They're now knowing that they can stream it on Netflix or something like that. And if Comcast, which is a very big internet service provider, at least in the Western United States,
that's true,
controls how many million internet connections, and they can just fucking put their cock on. Yeah, I'm using dick analogies a lot.
Yes, when I lived in LA, I wrote my monthly check. Actually, it was auto draft, but my monthly
Comcast
cable phone internet ass pillage bill was paid to Comcast directly.
It's scary.
It is. In related news, since we're on the body politic and the body multimedia television, I have an appeal, a serious, true-hearted appeal to the listeners of the Nerd Aristocracy to please visit our website, nerdaristocracy.com. You will see on a new blog we're going to post called links for episode 3, you will see a link to a website regarding the House Republicans' plan to end federal arts and humanities agencies and all aid to public broadcasting. Part of the Republicans' plan to cut back spending of the 20% discretionary spending that they have allotted in the budget, part of their plan to quote unquote cut the budget, is essentially ending public broadcasting. And that includes NPR, that includes PBS, and that is bad news.
That's bad. It depends on how you look at it. To spin. One, the more one thinks, the more one suffers. Why train them to think in the first place?
Sure.
And don't we have enough fags in this country already? All right. We still got football. We still got ER. You want some arts entertainment? We got some Glee. You know, what do you want from us? You think we're fucking French and we like support the arts? That's, you remember, true. The French didn't support us in the war, but they're going to support a mime to hang out at the Eiffel Tower. I'm sorry, I need some bullets right now. You know, I'll come back to you when I can enjoy your shenanigans, Mr. Striped Shirt, looking surprised, pulling on imaginary ropes.
Yes.
So, yes. Big deal.
So not only are you now in PR, you could also be a talking head at Fox News.
Dude,
you're really selling yourself tonight. You're really putting all your cards on the table tonight,
Daddy,
Mr. Reinecke.
Daddy needs some money.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I'll dance for the man. No, that's terrible.
Yeah, in all seriousness, not only in this plan do they plan on cutting public broadcasting, including PBS and NPR, they also plan on the elimination of the only two agencies that offer government grants to the arts, and those two are the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Well, do we really need to be giving our money to some guy's going to shit in pickle jars, right, and put it on display?
So this
that's
is
all that it does, right?
This is not just NPR. This is not just PBS. This is not just a painting. This is museums. This is cultural centers. This is all the operas, theater, independent film. This is all the things that listeners of this program are probably passionate about. It's about to get the axe, and we really need to step it up. I know that we might not have a huge following on this just yet, but what little following we do have, we need to get together and try and spread the word about this.
Yeah, it's the erosion of the higher things in a civilized society.
Absolutely.
Beyond, like, you know, basic waste management, education and transportation, healthcare, you know, you want to stimulate the minds of your populace because you can only judge a country's greatness by how great the individuals are. And if they don't have these resources, then how great are they? And you're comparing yourself to other countries that are, frankly, kicking your ass in those regards, like France, like many places in Europe that do support the arts, that do make way for it in its culture. And somehow, you know, they're not communist regimes. Life's pretty good over there, according to the Index of Living, the last I checked. And they're able to pay for it, too. Don't know. Somehow they're able to do it right. Maybe we should be a little humble and take a note on how they manage it rather than just cutting it out.
Sure. I think there's got to be some compromise in there somewhere. They can, we can fight with them on healthcare, or let me not phrase it like that. The right and the left can fight on healthcare. They can fight on the war in Iraq. They can fight on this and that. Name any of the 100 issues I could bring up right now. I'll spare you. This is not something that we can compromise on. We can't say, okay, well, we'll make PBS, NPR, and every arts program in every school, at every museum, and at every cultural center around the country privately funded. We cannot say that, because you and I both know that if it is up to an opera's patrons, or if it is up to a museum's ticket sales, we know that we are going to lose this, because the ones of us in this society, and I say this society, the ones of us in America that care about arts and arts and culture and heritage and humanities and the preservation of all those things, we will not, we typically are not in a financial position to carry the load solely on our own backs. We need a little help from the vast unwashed, and we need to make our voice known.
Yes, thank you. Well put. And the vast manicured as well. So what are the proletariat going to do for us? What are we going to get the nerd proletariat to get up in arms and do?
I have a... I'm going to put up a link to a website where you can go find out the name of your congressman.
There you go.
And just jot down a little note. Just say, hey, please do not allow this to happen. And I don't care where you live, if you live in a red state, a blue state, or an independent state, being Minnesota.
Those exist. Really? Better yet, call them up. You know, if you got the time, write a letter. That has a lot of impact. I mean, you know, getting online, that's great. Do it. But if you got the time, write a letter and some fine calligraphy or something like that. Let them know that you care that much to take that much time.
Sure. And if nothing else, tell your friends, spread it on Facebook. People need to know about this. And it's just, there's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. And this is going to be buried at the bottom of the pile. Fox News isn't going to talk about it. CNN isn't going to talk about it. MSNBC is not going to talk about it. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If it's not somebody getting shot in the head or a fire burning down or bombs blowing up, the news isn't going to tell you about it. This is going to be buried on page six. And unless you're reading the newspaper and reading the fine print, you're not going to know about it. It is happening. We need to do something about it. So please, I urge you, help a brother out, as they say in France. And with that, I will I will get off my soapbox. We will return to the levity of the show. But first, let's take a break.
Very good. And you're already tall. You don't need to be in the soapbox.
Catch their breath. We shall return, coming back for the second half of the Nerd Aristocracy.
Stick around.
And now back to your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
We're back.
Yes, we are. And still esteemed.
The guy said it. The guy with the cool voice said it. So I know. Apparently.
The more times you say something, even if it's not true, becomes true if enough people hear it and nod their heads.
That's true.
Nod your heads. I just be.
Yes. Nod with the flow of the man with the cool voice. We had a very nice chat while we were outside.
Yes, we did.
Via George Orwell and
Ayn
Rand and...
Aldous Huxley.
Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, was a little bit of that chat going on. So yeah, that was some good...
Talked about the first things to, you know, control a society in those kind of themed books of dystopian societies, which dystopian societies, by definition, are societies that are manicured by man to be an ideal, to be a utopia. But due to the concept that you can't force man into happiness, it becomes a dystopia. So it's not... my favorite is Brave New World, I think, among them all. But one of the things in 1984 is, you know, like Jonathan pointed out, strip the artists and the arts and those higher things from a society. And then I was reminded of, yes, and make sure they are in a constant state of fear of this outsiding Al-Qaeda force. I think in 1984 it was some Jewy name like Goldberg or something like that. And it ended up just being a creation of the establishment to, you know, make that knee-jerk reaction where people are on the edge and they got their sublimated, you know, sex passion is into their two-minute hate where they just scream at an image of this guy. And that's pretty much, you know, Fox News making people scared and making people... But even worse than hating the outside, you know, people are being pitted against each other to hate your fellow Americans, you know, which is, yeah, of course, terrible. You know, if you disagree with somebody, talk about it. Don't just start from a standpoint assuming they're wrong and just nod your head as they're talking, waiting for your turn to talk, which I see a lot of people do. And I'm guilty of that too. But now to get us back on funny track, on the way here, Jonathan, I passed a unique business up Highway 49, and I had to do a double take at this sign because I just didn't believe it when I first saw the sign of this business. It was called Jap Tech. It was like Jap Tech. Yes. I was like, oh, wow. If I was Japanese and living in the 50s, I'd probably be offended by that. But, you know, maybe it's like an anagram, like just all perfect appliances or something like that. And then as I inched forward in traffic, I saw that it was Jap Tech, Honda Motors. What? Yeah. So it's a place called Jap Tech that specializes in Japanese-made automobiles.
Sure. You thought you were going to get some good deals on some electronics.
Yeah, it's like Kraut Motors featuring, you know, BMWs or something. Yes. It's like, eh?
Volkswagen.
Yeah, Volkswagen. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're riding the gravy train there on the Japanese automobile.
Yeah, but what about, like, Tokyo Imports or something like, I mean, geez, something.
Because most Americans don't know where Tokyo is. It'd be like,
is that that sushi place?
Tokyo. What's Tokyo?
I don't know what it is, therefore I do not like it.
Probably some talk radio station.
hey, let's talk, yo.
So, did you hear the news that Jack LaLanne died? Did you hear that?
No, I don't. Who is that? You told me, I forgot.
He's the old guy that's on the infomercials, Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you said Jacqueline. Jacqueline.
He has the juicer.
The juicer guy, yeah.
Yes.
The guy that Jim Carrey used to make fun of when they were doing the In Living Color.
Correct.
Like, I drink the juice. Yeah.
Yes. Apparently, he's the guy that swore that if you put a carrot and some asparagus and an onion in a juicer, it would taste good. And I refuse to believe him. And may he rest in peace. I still refuse to believe that concoction.
I'm sure once you've burned your taste buds off by just drinking juice,
sure,
and eating sawdust.
Put three bottles of Louisiana hot sauce in this and it'll go down just fine.
Yeah, and a couple of kilos of MSG. Ayo. he died. Is there any news on how he's going to be, you know, handled? That's a bad way to put it. I mean, is he going to go in a mausoleum? Is he going to be buried in the dirt? Is he going to be cremated, juiced?
I don't know the preparations for his remains, but I do know that oftentimes we'll pour out a 40 for our fallen homies.
Crack a V8.
I've elected, you stole my thunder, but sorry. Yes, I have elected to pour 40 ounces of home squeezed juice for him.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I think I'm going to get some oranges, which are the juiciest and easiest to juice, yeah. I believe. And since I never invested in his particular consumer product, right, I'm just going to squeeze some oranges and go out in the backyard and pour 40 of OJ for my fallen homeboy.
Yeah.
He was 96, though, so I'm pretty sure he lived a full and plentiful life.
Yeah, but plenty of people get to 96 without, like, fucking drinking juice all day.
Right. George Burns made it well over 100, drinking whiskey and smoking cigars every day of his life.
Right. Who knows? As long as you enjoy your time here. I mean, if you cap out when you're 60, as long as your life is full, is what's important.
That's true.
I think.
So have you heard about the new Nintendo 3DS that's coming out?
Vaguely. Interestingly, before hearing about the 3DS coming out, I heard about a warning from Nintendo how 3D might not be good for children under a certain age because their retinas haven't settled or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So then they're putting out the 3DS.
They put out the warning and then they hit their...
Our main target audience, don't use this product.
Their here. PR campaign. They need to get you on the bandwagon with your spin so you can say, yes,
what we
3D
meant to
is
say
bad for kids.
Was
but
3D developed by technology other than Nintendo?
Sure.
Because we at Nintendo put this in mind in our crafting of our 3D technology that is patented. And there is no way that anyone else can produce 3D technology without destroying your children's sight.
Sure.
Nintendo.
Yes. The apparently it's going to be similar to...
So how will it be done? Will you wear glasses?
No, apparently it's no glasses needed. Because
that's the pain in the ass. With 3D.
Sure. I don't really know how it's going to work, but...
You buy two of them and you just hold them up to each other. That seems expensive.
I don't really know how it's going to work. Apparently it's going to have a motion sensor and a gyro sensor, so you can like move around with it and play your Mario Kart or whatever lame game they're playing on them these days. Not a big video game guy. I'm going to go ahead and toss that out there to the nerd proletariat and admit I'm not a huge video game guy. I'll play my Madden football and I'll play Netflix movies on my PS3. But that is about the extent of my...
Yeah, I'm not granted as much as I used to be in my youth.
Sure.
I have a problem when I play video games these days. If I play a video game for more than like an hour and a half, I feel bad. I mean, I feel guilty. I get onto myself. I'm like, dude, there's more important things you need to be doing right now than shooting some 13-year-old kid in his mom's basement. Virtually. Game.
Right. Okay.
Who is actually jacked up on Mountain Dew, so they're killing me. I play Call of Duty or something like that. Sure. I know I'm playing some fucking kid in Belgrade, and I start the game like, okay, I checked it. Spent 30 minutes dressing my character up and choosing the weapons, and let's get out there in the field. You've been sniped by Bart Futz 24. It's like, God damn it.
Oh.
And then I just get
fucking
angry.
Bart Futz. He's always killing us.
One game I do like, it's like really remedial. It's like basically you remember that game Gauntlet back in the, you know, video arcade days?
Sure.
Just go around a warrior, dwarf, magician, hot chick with a sword.
I remember it well.
There's basically a game like this called Baldur's Gate. It's a very, like I said, remedial RPG, but me and the missus will pick that up. And I mean, it's just simple hack and slash, and it's fun. You can pick it up. Oh, let's you know, piss through this for an hour. Okay, we're done, you know. No involved storyline. You don't have to take notes and write down, like, okay, the goblin gave me the green gem, and he said to bring this to the faraway land of blah, blah, blah. No. I would like to play... I don't have, like, a modern video game system. Excuse me. I'd like to play a game, Heavy Rain, that made its debut some months ago. I'm going to say, like, 4 or 5 months ago at least. And that looked like a really intense, well-scripted... theatrical, like movie-like almost game that Sony exclusively put out. The graphics looked astounding, and there was no superheroes, no like exploding wizards and stuff like that. It was simply like you're this guy, a father, you know, a single parent, trying to make your way in the world, and there's like this murder that's happening in the atmosphere of this game, and it's more choices you make during the game. It's nothing like super fantastic, and that really appealed to me. It seemed intriguing because it was such a counter game that if I get a PS3, that's probably the first game I'll get. Anyway,
duly noted. That was a long diatribe. I sense you have very, very, very much love for this game.
Yeah, because it had the cojones to be like, we're gonna really invest our efforts in engineering this. Like I saw a demo for it and. There's one of the, I think, three characters you play in a convenience store at night. It's rainy, dark city, and the atmosphere is really nice. And this guy comes in and holds up the place, and you have these options of how to react to the guy holding up the place. You're not the cashier, but you're on the other side of the counter. You're just a customer. And the way you choose, like, the action to do is it'll show you the triangle button, the square button, the circle button, the X button as your different options kind of rotating around your head. And so they kind of come in and out of focus, and then they change up too to reflect your character's mental state of how well he's able to focus in the situation.
Right.
And depending on how you react depends, you know, whether you get a bullet in the head, whether the cashier gets shot, or whether the guy doesn't rob you.
I think the last time I was that passionate about a video game was probably Grand Theft Auto 2.
Yeah, that one really took me. I played the hell out of that game.
That kind of took everybody. That was the first game, and I think universally.
Well, Ray Liotta's the voice. Fuck you. I'm a cop. Stop. I mean, that was just so innovative.
Speaking of Ray Liotta, did you know you still can't buy No Escape on DVD? You remember that movie?
Yeah,
vaguely. They dropped him off on an island, and it was like a futuristic prison
island, huh?
Movie.
Modern Australia.
Yes, absolutely. You can't buy that on DVD.
Yeah, that was his film, if I'm not mistaken, directly after Goodfellas.
Okay.
So it's like, Goodfellas, Martin Scorsese, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro.
But it was a great film. Escape.
Yeah?
It was a great film.
I don't recall it.
You should recall it.
So it's not a... You can't buy it on DVD?
You cannot buy it on DVD.
That's... Are they trying to forget it happened? Or?
I guess. But I'm like, how is that possible? How are crappy movies that, you know, you and I have been in available on DVD? And one of Ray Liotta's best performances is not.
Maybe he bought them all up. Maybe he didn't think it was a good performance.
Maybe. I did not think
I mean, if you
that.
Can get Battlefield Earth on DVD, you should be able to get, you know, No Escape on DVD.
Speaking of bad performances, we talked before the show. You said you had not heard the new dance craze called Moving Like Bernie.
Mm-mm.
And
I imagine you meant Weekend at Bernie's, like a bunch of modern line dancing, kind of zombie-like movements.
That's very, very accurate.
Really?
Although
okay.
It is rooted in the hip-hop community.
Mm.
So it is hip-hop dance. We can't play the actual music to it on the Nerd Aristocracy. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a brief pause. Our listeners aren't going to hear the pause. I'm going to play it for you. And then as soon as it's done, you get enough and you tap out, we're going to come back. And I'm going to get your reaction to the new dance craze called Moving Like Bernie.
Okay.
And we'll post it on our links on the nerdaristocracy.com so our listeners can view it. But if they want, they can go to YouTube and type in Moving Like Bernie.
Okay.
They spelled it wrong. The artist has spelled Bernie wrong because in the film it was B-E-R-N-I-E.
It is like Weekend at Bernie's Bernie?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes. Let's take this pause. I got to hear this.
And on if you YouTube it, it's Moving Like Bernie, B-E-R-N-E-Y. But you'll probably find it either way. So let's take a pause. I'm going to show this video, Moving Like Bernie, to Ryan, and you're going to hear his response.
All right, baby. Let's do it. God. Okay. Oh. All right. Yeah. All right. So I see it's a little over 600,000 views right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Done in a fair city that we have both shared residence in, New Orleans.
Sure.
I assume it's New Orleans group that's doing this.
It's moving like Bernie.
Yes. It is moving like Bernie. I can't understand a lot of the lyrics because like the audio quality is not that good and. Like, I don't understand that kind of cadence of chanting. The first thing I was reminded of when I saw the group of the four guys in front of the Huey P. Long jerking around and slumping like zombies. I can't believe how much I hit it on by saying like modern line dancing. And when I see modern line dancing in a bar, I do think of zombies because people just kind of get up. They can be in the middle of a Bud Light in the middle of a story. You hearing something? And they're like, yeah, well, then the other day I shot the dog and, oh, and they just go. And they start, like, and they're creepy, like, line dancing. And this is even worse. The first vision that came to my mind was the fucking Serpent in the Rainbow.
Okay.
When you had these fucking Haitians, not that there's anything wrong with Haitians, unless they're, like, brain, you know, zombies that are undead. It just looks like a bunch of zombies and... Oh, God. I can't imagine what they're doing to their lumbar and their number one and two, whatever those parts of the vertebrae are, where they're bent over backwards.
See, what struck me is I had no idea that Weekend at Bernie's was such a big hit in the African-American community.
That's what intrigues me about this artist. Who is the artist?
The artist is ISA.
ISA.
I don't know if that's an acronym.
The
or
ISA.
The ISA, or if it's ISA.
The ISA.
I don't know. Apparently, it is Platinum Records Incorporated.
Oh, they've gone platinum.
I think it's a very generic name for a hip-hop record company.
That's like but, naming your movie studio Oscar Award winners.
Sure.
Produces.
Sure. But let me just say, like, if there were... If I had a choice to name 5,000 movies... that a dance would have been based off of.
Uh-huh.
Weekend at Bernie's would come in around 4,997, 4,998, somewhere in that range. I would not have guessed that if somebody had said, hey, we'll give you 1,000 guesses as to what the new hip hop dance is based on. What movie is it based on? Weekend at Bernie's, not on my radar.
Now, you don't think that's parody, do you? I mean, you don't think that it's a
I don't think so. Huh? They looked pretty serious about it to me. They looked pretty committed to the
best
dance.
Comedians do, though. I mean, that's why I have to see a transcript of the lyrics it might come off as funny to me no matter what. So
I don't want to come off conceited, but I know a lot about comedy.
But you do anyway.
And I'm pretty good at gauging the comedic prowess of people. And I would venture to say that the people that I saw in that video, not really Richard Pryor or Chris Rock-esque.
I'm just imagining like an old beat-up Chevrolet from the 80s, you know, pulling up to a local Walmart and somebody blasting their eardrums into pudding and then getting out of the car and walking like that with their head cocked back and their shades on. And me in my scared, unsure whiteness fumbling for my door handle to get back in my car.
Sure.
And then other people that might be in the know be like, yeah, he's down with the bird. And think that guy's got it going on.
Sure.
When in like, flash forward 5 years, this guy is going to be in traction and deaf.
Yeah, I would think it would be a 28 days later, Night of the Living Dead scenario. I would be afraid that the fourth rider of the apocalypse had arrived and
oh, man. Yeah, I would just start spearing people with like broom handles and stuff. It's come on! Man, I'm moving like Bernie. What the fuck?
The end is that your god? The end is nigh.
Oh, it always is. That's the beautiful thing about the end. Unfortunately, whose timetable, right? Lordy. Well, come on. The zombie, that'd be a good dance, right? I mean, you should come out with the zombie.
Yeah, I guess it just doesn't roll off the tongue as well as moving like Bernie.
The zombie? Move it like the zombie?
The zombie sounds like
and your mommies?
No, don't ever do that again.
The
zombie sounds like a 1960s, like The Twist or something like that. Sounds like a very antiquated.
He was a green screened, brain sucking zombie eater. Right.
Very, yes.
Big bopper kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
A zombie.
The day the music died.
Yes. It was about 10 years ago, I think.
I would agree.
Yeah, that song was about Kurt Cobain.
I don't think so. What? The day the music died?
Well, the cover.
I was about to say the cover, because I don't think Kurt Cobain was but a wee tot when the original was released. Mm. I also heard that Hey Man, Nice Shot is about Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
I'm a good shot, man.
Just a guy. You mentioned the Academy Awards.
No, you did.
No, you did. You said we should name it. That's kind of like naming your movie production company.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oscar award winners.
See, you can't slip.
I mentioned the Academy Awards. I mentioned the product of the Academy.
You cannot
Awards.
Slip an Oscar.
Like if I talked about milk and you were like, so talking about cows.
Yes.
Oh, of course it is. All right. I'll give you that.
You can't slip an Oscar reference past me.
All right.
Anyway, Oscar nominees released this week. I know we're not gonna talk about them very much because I personally have not seen about 90% of the films. I
haven't seen any of them.
Right. So I don't think we'd have a lot of good positive input. And I guess as actors, as professional actors, we should probably not admit to that. But
no, that'd be selling out.
Sure. But in the stand-up world, at least, a lot of comics are of the opinion and of the ilk to not watch other comics perform.
For fear that you might steal something.
Sure, for fear it might not be a purposeful acquisition, but for fear they might influence your act or your character or your material.
I think you should. Now, that being said, I do watch a lot of performances.
Sure.
Not necessarily the cutting-edge stuff. I don't have cable TV right now. I don't watch Glee and 30 Rock and stuff like that, okay, or Parks and Recreation, but I do watch a lot of entertainment for that reason. And you know, my acting can be informed by different aspects. I think the more you watch, like if you only watch one guy, like if your comedian that you watch is Bobcat Goldthwait,
right.
And you only watch him, you're probably going to be inspired by him. But if you watch like a broad range of people and kind of take it all into the churn and just, you know, try to be a little bit objective about it, maybe you won't be copying somebody. I'm going to say The King's Speech. It's going to be a movie that like nobody sees because it seems kind of like a literate film.
Right.
You know, I don't think my parents are going to dig it. So I'm going to say like they're going to give it some pussy award, like best adaptation.
Sure.
From like a book. And I don't know if it was based on a book, but some shit thing like that. And he'll get he's going to get a nod as Colin Firth as the actor, but it's not going to go to him. It's going to go to True Grit guy. No, he just won it for that cowboy movie, right? Okay, well, maybe Matt Damon. Is he up for an award?
Matt Damon is not. He was snubbed.
Okay. Who's up for Best Actor? Do you know?
I know one of the guys up for Best Actor is James Franco,
mm-hmm.
and for his role in 127 Hours about the guy that falls in the thing.
But too young.
Interesting.
It's just good to be nominated.
And that's he's actually why I brought up the story.
I'd like to see that. I used to hate him. Sorry, go on. I'm going to keep interrupting you. But.
Yes, please. Please go on with your tirade. I actually saw him on The Daily Show last night, and he told an interesting story. Apparently, he is currently attending Yale University. And
I've heard that.
He actually was in class when the Oscar nominations were announced. He was in a class on Byron and Keats and Shelley, apparently a class about the romantic poets.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, if I felt I might be nominated for an Oscar, I probably would have skipped class. And I know that's not very nerdish of me to
you wouldn't skip have been like in class with like your phone on the desk on vibrate or something.
Yeah, I just got nominated for an Oscar.
You know, my manager said it would happen, but my agent didn't see it.
You never know.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting that he was like, yeah, I might be nominated for the highest honor in show business, but I don't want to miss, you know, going over why Lord Byron wrote poems about women and had sex with men. I don't want to miss this discussion.
Maybe he's trying to find out something about himself.
Maybe so.
Well, good for him. Good for all the nominees and all the tiny people that don't get hoisted in spotlights like that, because people that you would never be on your radar really go through a lot and give a lot.
Best boys,
unfortunately never.
Key grips.
Yeah, key grips. I mean, shit.
Scene painters.
You know, a good grip, dude, will work 14, 16 hours for a shift while, you know, an actor's fucking showing in their custom Winnebago.
I agree.
Yeah,
we have both been on both sides.
Yeah, we've both had jobs in production, so we can speak from experience.
We can indeed. And did you hear about the mom that's suing McDonald's?
No.
I'm thinking about food because I'm hungry at this point.
Okay.
And I had remembered hearing about the mom that's suing McDonald's.
What you got?
Apparently, there's a mother that is suing the McDonald's Corporation, saying that she wants either them to make Happy Meals healthier or she wants them to take the toy away, because she's sick of getting in fights with her six-year-old daughter because her daughter wants a Happy Meal.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay, so the toy can remain if the meal is healthier?
That's correct. And I wanted to get your opinion because you are a father,
mm-hmm.
to a very bright and cute daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not a baby daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Of that I know about,
right.
At least.
Knock on wood.
Sure. I have no idea, but as of now, I've not been confirmed as a father. So
okay.
I was going to get your opinion as a parent before I voice mine, coming from no experience.
Right. A couple of things. This human being that would even bring that up is a stupid fucking waste of skin and oxygen sucking filth.
Okay.
Because if she can't manage it on her own, you know, boom, it's thrown out right there. You can't control it. Don't go to fucking McDonald's.
Right.
Okay. And then second question I have, not that the first was a question, but so this will be the first, is how often do they go to McDonald's that this is such a pressing thing? Okay. Right. So something tells me that she's probably a fucking fat ass bloated with sodium, and I'm guessing she's not eating the salad from the fucking McDonald's menu either. The mom, right? It's probably, you know, if they go there so often to it's a problem, then they probably have a history of eating unhealthily. So what the hell? Tell the kid to shut up and no. What I do is I want to eat blah, blah, blah. Well, you're not going to eat blah, blah, blah. You're going to eat what I spent 2 hours in the kitchen fucking cooking.
Sure.
Oh, well, I'm not hungry. Okay, don't eat. I'm just going to put it here in front of you.
Sure.
You know what? They eat. All right?
That's true.
It's going to take a long time for a child to starve. I found that out with the first one. But that being said, you know, like, really, just get a handle on it. I mean, shit. What a miserable person. And that bugs me about the media, too, is that they're like, oh, this is something worth covering.
All right. See, my thought is, and like I say, not coming from a parental standpoint, but coming from a former child standpoint, as I was once a child.
You were one of those?
I was. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed an occasional Happy Meal, I'm sure. I'm sure part of that was in order to get the G.I. Joe or the Thundercat or whatever piece of crap was in the toy box at one point.
Right.
But see, my parents, they had this thing they used to tell me, and it was, no.
Yeah.
And they would say it very defiantly.
It's a short word.
And it was not a debate. It was not a...
How do you feel about me saying no?
Right. It was not a barter system. It was not a, okay, no today, but first thing tomorrow, I'll take you to McDonald's. We'll get you a toy, or I'll take you to K&B. See, what struck me was not so much Happy Meals, but also cereal. Like, I don't think I was a big Happy Meal guy, but I was the cereal box guy. You know, whatever cereal I wanted that week was dependent upon which had the best toy. Was it going to be Apple Jacks? Was it going to be Frosted Flakes? Was it going to be Cookie Crisp? But once again, Mom had the power of no to say, your dad likes Raisin Bran, and I'm not going to buy 537 fucking boxes of cereal, so you're going to eat Raisin Bran. Or you can eat the Pop-Tart that I like, or you cannot eat.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, I'll put in there another option. Okay, where's your money?
Right.
You going to buy this? Or do you want to save up and buy a real fucking toy where cereal's not in the way of enjoying it?
I guess I just found it amazing that a parent, and I guess I shouldn't find it amazing, but I was blown away by the fact that a parent would choose to sue a corporation before they would tell their child no. Like, yeah, let us go through the pain in the ass and the expenditure that is suing one of the biggest corporations in the world before we tell our 6-year-old who we brought into this world.
No.
No. That's pretty mind
blowing. See, I like that she's like, look, I'll compromise. Either the Happy Meals can get healthier and still include a toy, or they can stay the delicious, yummy waste of food that it is.
Sure.
And not have a toy. Like, the kid's going to drive up and be like, so what do you want today, little Johnny? Do you want the side salad with Newman's Own ranch dressing that's fat-free?
Right.
Or do you want the Happy Meal? It doesn't have a toy. The Happy Meal? You want the Happy Meal? It doesn't have a toy. I want the Happy Meal. It sounds happy. What are they going to call it now? Like a fucking unhappy meal? A depressing meal?
Sure.
Do you want the Nightmare Haunt You meal? Does it come with a toy? No toy. But it's got the nuggets. Yeah, it's got the nuggets. Okay, I'll take that. Another lawsuit.
See what strikes me as odd is it reminds me of a thought that I had the other day. And remember when you and I were growing up, or our generation was growing up, and when we thought of the 60s, mm-hmm. like that was so antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we thought of the 60s, it was like ages and ages ago in a time period we could never fathom.
Creation, oh dinosaur, the sure. 60s.
Yeah, look at the clothes they wore, and it's black and white TV and blah, blah, blah. That's how kids now view the 80s.
Yeah.
And that blew my mind. It added to my the midlife crisis that I have going right now at 28 years old.
My birthday is tomorrow. I'm going to be 30 fucking four.
Really? Your birthday is tomorrow?
Yes.
Well, happy fucking birthday, you son of a bitch. How did I not know that about my hetero life mate?
I don't tell that to people.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't drop a hint like somebody's birthday is coming
up. Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel weird about it. And it's like, the more I think about it, the more I have a neurotic breakdown. Like the other night I was going to bed thinking of all the things I haven't done in my life. And my age, and you know, Christ died, risen, all that stuff.
Sure.
The year I am right now. Right. And even people, you know, not quite as glorious as that, have accomplished far a lot more. Zuckerberg, what? He's like 20 something? Yeah. So there's that. So, yeah. The 80s, that seems like, you know, just a hand reach behind you, a reach around behind you.
Right.
To a kid is like, you know, primordial.
Yeah. I mean, that blew my mind. And what made me think about it, to be honest, was I was, of course, up late at night, flipping through the TV, saw the infomercial for like the 60s collection.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed so ancient or whatever. And then I remember recently seeing one about 80s music.
Yeah.
And it struck me that when I heard the 80s music, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this jam. Oh, yeah. That song was the shit. Awesome song. I love this. If I didn't have a computer, I might actually order this. But the way I felt about
the wonderful 80s.
Yes. The way I felt about those 60s music retrospectives is the way some kid now is feeling when he watches the 1980s one. And to me, it was just, like you say, a reach around behind us.
Yeah. Like, how did you people live like that with the hair and the music and the hair bands? That's just weird.
Michael Jackson was a real person? Yes.
He was black back then?
Yes, he was.
Yes, before he died and became a demagogue.
But yeah, I know you're slightly older than I am, but I think I am going through the midlife crisis. I don't think you've reached that point, but I'm the one losing my hair and pondering 1960s.
We all got our midlife crises fat in different ways.
Terrible.
Man. Hey, I got a little belly here.
I have a big belly here.
Right here. You're taller than I am.
Oh, okay. So that's what I should tell chicks. Listen, honey, I know I'm a little chunky now, but I'm also 6'4", so...
It's a trade-off. You're 6'4". That's like, you know, like leading CEOs are above 6'2", and you're like there among them, but I'm not
chief,
a CEO.
I ain't chief executive of shit. I am a nerd aristocrat.
That so. You got that.
I am CEO... or co-CEO of the Nerd Proletariat.
CCEO. Yes, so as am I.
That's one thing we can be happy about.
You know, I don't have... I'm not that tall. I'm not short by any means. Not like somebody that's like 5'8". But I'm not tall. I don't have like crystal, pretty blue Frodo eyes or anything like that. So I got to take it as I can get it. And, you know, this little paunch I have... I'm not liking it. And also the lack of major accomplishments in my life and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, it just kind of compresses the closer to your birthday you get. But now I have a new wild card to throw in that mix of how old I am by the music I appreciate. Thanks for that. That's good.
I'm gonna ponder that. Chew on that.
I will. If I can, I'll have to put in my fucking dentures.
Yes, indeed. Nice. I think now would be a good time to pitch the website idea that I told you about earlier. I think what I'm going to do is create a new weekly website blog post and call it Watch Jonathan Lose His Hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every week, gotta be on a depressing day like a Monday, I'm gonna take a picture of my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can be lucky and I'll actually, my hair will start to fill in and I won't lose my hair. But
if, maybe this will draw attention to it and the hair will be like, oh, I gotta show up now.
Sure. But if not, then the members of the nerd proletariat can watch as I slowly lose my hair.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, ballsy. We can do a retrospective like on YouTube.
Yeah. We can make like a flip book.
Sure. It'd be awesome. So let us know your thoughts on that. Mail at nerdaristocracy.com.
I got to commend your humongous balls for doing that.
I have big balls.
It is.
I might be losing my hair and I might be fat, but I got huge fucking cojones.
That's nice.
Yes.
I take my hat off to your balls. because it's a great way to just wrangle that and be like, well, if it's happening, it's happening.
Hey,
let me turn this frown upside down.
That's what I've been doing my whole life, is turning my tragedy into other people's comedy. So I may as well do it with my geriatric tendencies.
As I fall apart in this current incarnation.
This me dying.
On a related note, I'm going to be posting updates, maybe not quite so often, maybe about once a month, of my growing blockage that I have on my right lung. I want to see how that develops. It's kind of moving around, so it's interesting. It's like, where's it going to go?
It's going to be a medical website of sorts.
Oh, man, the fun is just starting.
Yes, indeed. And another weekly portion as we wind down this episode of the Nerd Aristocracy. We're one of the ideas I had as far as a weekly category or topic or theme, mm-hmm. subject, whatever. I want to have This Week in Rap Philosophy, where each week we take either a rap lyric or we take a line from perhaps a rapper's speech or mm-hmm. a YouTube interview or something, and we share it with the nerd proletariat.
And it's
infinite wisdom.
Kind of turn it over, hold it to the light, and sure. find the different facets that make it intriguing.
Yes. This week, in This Week in Rap Philosophy, our quote is, "Be about it or be without it." Would you like to take a venture as to what philosopher said that?
Let's see. It would be probably among the
if we had rights to use other people's music, we could play the Jeopardy theme here. So
Will I Am?
It is not Will I Am. You're close though. It does have an acronym in it. It is TI.
Really? That's T.I. rare. That's
yes.
really rare.
Yes. Be about it or be without it.
Okay. What does this
T.I.
piece of poetry mean to you?
To me, it means either walk the walk or talk the talk.
Hmm.
In that, either do it, man up, or go home. Go big or go home.
I like that. I like that. I don't take it in quite such an aggressive way, though.
Okay.
Although I might be stripping the entire
sure,
ghetto
please. No,
out of it.
No, please.
Be about it or be without it. It's almost Zen-like. You
sure.
know? It's like, you know, accept your embracing of this thing you have in your world.
Okay.
Or reject it.
I did not think you of know, that. That's it, very Tao.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very Buddhist,
Tao,
if you will.
Yes. Or is it Tao? Depends on the restaurant. But I like that. No, I like that. Yeah. It is like, you know, take it with both arms or push it away with both palms, you know?
Okay.
And there's wisdom that grows there.
It's kind of like sit on my face or get out of my house.
Sit on my face or tug on my balls. Got to find a way to rhyme that.
Those are your two options. Oh, God. That is classic. Yeah. All right. So we want to invite people to join the website. As I complimented you earlier on.
Yeah, baby.
We've been doing a ton of work. We have forums now.
It looks kind
of
real.
We have a new design to the website, a new theme. So it is a badass website. I am proud of it. You should be uber proud of it because you're the one that's been slaving over a hot laptop, trying to get this up for your ungrateful proletariat. But hopefully things will change. More people will visit the website. I will start to blog. You will start to blog. The people have spoken.
It's coming together. I'm still not I'm not proud of it yet.
Well,
I'm pleased.
We're getting there. We're baby steps. We're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we will continue to update the website this week. We want to thank you for listening. And for next week, please submit to us via email or comment in the forums or comment on our Facebook page. Somehow get in touch with us. Let us know the songs that you think you would like played at your funeral.
Yeah, we're going to have this under a special forum where it's just going to be like funeral music or something like that. So chime in there. Everybody can share it. It'll probably be a sub-forum under music, actually. I don't know. Look for it. It'll be there. And we'll pick out some choice ones, and we'll talk about them next week.
Yes, indeed. That's one thing we want to discuss on next week's show. So get your ideas in. Songs that you would like played at your funeral. You'll have some.
And why? What do they mean to you? And especially if there's like a section of it that speaks to some part within you that you're choosing that for. Or if it reminds you of a certain time in your life, something like that.
Ryan will have some ideas. I will have some ideas. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's birthday is tomorrow. So yeah. Everybody.
It's already been my birthday by the time you've heard this.
Sure, probably so. So
get in your time machines.
Get in your time machine. Go back to the future and wish him a very happy birthday. Have a great birthday, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We appreciate it more than you possibly know. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And Ryan and I are going to go listen to the intro all night.
Indeed so. And my good people out there, you put the pro in proletariat.
Have a good one, folks.
Until next show, then. Enjoy.